son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.
I don't need the mic, right? Does anybody? Thank you, Gus. Does anybody know any other song that Harry Chapin wrote? Yeah, one hit wonder. Yep, there you go. Well, good morning, friends. It's always good to be together, always. And I got a feeling today is going to be a little bit special. It's very interesting getting older in this job and the stuff that comes out of this. And I'm a little afraid because I don't want you mad at me. But just watch what happens during the service. I'm a little fearful. Doesn't that just make you relaxed and peaceful? Well, what encourages Dad? That's my target today. That's all I started with on a piece of paper, that question. And I tried to answer it honestly, compassionately, but in a real way. So someone noticed, you may have heard this, but the word father appears in the dictionary just before the word fatigued and just after the word fathead. Yay, fatherhood. A child's father kept bringing home office work just about every night. He was behind, and finally his first grade son asked, "Why, Dad, why?" And Daddy explained to him he had so much work he just couldn't finish it all during the day. Just couldn't get it done. The boy reasoned and thought for a moment. He says, "In that case, why don't they put you in a slower group, Dad?" What kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? He was ruthless. What kind of man was Kenny before he married Carla? Careless. I'm going to stop right there. I thought about going around the room, but I thought, nah, I'm not that good. What kind of man was Ben Bruno before he married Laura Bruno? He was jailless. You figure that out. You don't know her name's really Jay, but that's okay. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you for who you are, for what you've done in our life, for how you alone have changed our future. You have done that. You have given us confidence that we know you, that we get to be headed to heaven, that we get to spend our time and our energy on others, not just ourselves. That we can love away until the day we die and join you. Thank you for that. Oh, thank you. And Lord, thank you for the fathers in this room. We all know we haven't been excellent all the time, but we've done our best with you by our side. So, Lord, I pray today that this message would make dads feel good, encouraged, that they'd realize the impact of our life is enormous, quietly, faithfully, working hard, and doing our best. So, Lord, touch us today with truth, with good reasoning, with biblical thought imposed in the issue of fatherhood. So, Lord, thank you that we get to be together in this room. And I pray that you would bless this time in each of our lives in whatever way you want. So, Jesus, we welcome you into this room, into our lives. And may we just stay close to you with the best that we've got. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, here we go. You ready? So what does it mean to encourage dads? Obviously, we're going to focus on dads. But in reality, as this message got put together this week, the things we speak about today could be applied to friendships and to marriages and to mothers and to any and every relationship that you get or have or will have. It really can. You'll see that. Today, in my mind, it's a blueprint for what could be in your relationship with your dad, or in many cases, could have been. And that's the hard part of today. Some of you are going to want a do-over. And you don't get do-overs when daddy's gone. You don't. Sadly. But it's true. We all have or had different dads, all of us. Some were awesome and really good at being a dad. Some were lacking in some ways. All of us in some ways, but some more than others. Some were awful and abusive. And for that, my heart breaks for you. But it's true. And in this place, we face the truth. We don't run from it. Can't. Those dads that were awful and abusive, they have or they will reap what they sow. That's all we got. Can't change it. Hurt people have a difficult road. There's scars that they have to deal with. And the best way to deal with them is to get close to Jesus, there's no doubt. Because you can get to a point where you actually can forgive them. Not condone, not approve, but forgive. It's a beautiful thing when you do for you. You ready? This is so simple. You're going to go, why was this such a big deal to you, Jim? Just wait. So what encourages dad? Number one. Keep the relationship alive. And today I'm putting this on you. Because I can. I'm the boss for the moment. You see, the truth is, and we all know it, we don't talk about it much, but a lot of distance can happen here between a dad and a kid for many different reasons. This divide can just grow. When you have daughters, they marry somebody. And that somebody, as it should be, becomes more important to them than you. And it's not cool. But it's the truth. And in some situations, and again, there's so many to speak of, but what happens is the relationship between son or daughter and dad just gets a divide in it. Some is natural. You need to leave and cleave with your husband or wife. That's appropriate. But there becomes this gap at times that is ever widening. And we just kind of grow apart. And not much contact. Maybe it becomes a holiday only thing, which is kind of fascinating if you think about it. So what I'm asking today for you to consider with your dad in mind. And for many of us, my dad's been dead for over 30 years. By the way, side note, you see who's sitting next to my wife today? Her daddy can't be here. Dale's not her daddy, but he's a godly older man that loves Jesus, loves this church, loves me, and loves Sandy. You can get a surrogate dad. Or mom. We're not talking about mom today. You can have it, it's not the same. But believe me, Dale does not mind sitting next to an absolutely beautiful, godly woman today. I just want you to know. That's my wife. So number one, I'm going to be very practical and real today. Be an initiator of calls and texts. Yeah, you. Don't sit back and wait for your dad to chase you down. Stop it. Goes on all the time. I'm kind of yelling at you. I was taught, don't ever yell at adults. I'm just being excited here. Don't wait for him. Just do it. You'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry. Ephesians 6:2 says this. We know this verse well. Honor your father and mother. And the idea is the giving of respect to him or her. Having admiration for him or her. And again, to honor is to value, to respect, to esteem highly over other things. To hold in high regard just because of the position. And the truth is, he may not deserve it fully, but he's still it. Ephesians 6:2 goes on, says, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's a big deal to God. And it brings a promise with it. And the promise is that it will go well with you, that your life will be blessed, watched over, taken note of by God as you honor your mother and father. So this isn't just good for him or her, but it's good for you, me. And I believe there's a historical context here. Just because your mom and dad are gone, it doesn't mean you don't still honor him in how you live, decisions that you make, the way that you determine what you're going to do. Honor him till the day you die. Didn't see that coming, did you? You see, if you don't have much of a relationship with him, dad, not much contact, you don't see him too much, don't talk to him often, it's pretty hard to honor him. Matter of fact, I'd challenge him, you can, if you don't have contact. He's just another old guy. Now, I'm going to give you some different questions. I just popped them in there because I want you always to think, when you come to this place, it's all about Jesus, no doubt. But beyond that, I want you to think. I want you to have to ponder in your mind who you are, how you live, and what you do and what you don't do. And you have to decide, every one of us. And so, question here. Ask yourself, how much effort does it take to do this? To call and text? How much effort? How much time does it take to say or text, hi, Dad, thinking about you? You don't have to ask a question, because then he may give you a book text because he's old. And you roll your eyes. He doesn't mind, but it shows he wants to talk to you. How long does it take to say or text, glad you're my dad? Done. Nothing else. No response is needed. But to hear from a daughter or a son that I'm glad you're my dad. Four words. It's cool. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day. So be initiators of calls and texts. Number two, you guys are silent. Are you already there? You already mad at me? Number two, give him your time. Give him your time. Time is the most important thing we have. We think it's money, but most of us don't have much of it, so don't tell. It's your time. It's your time. And this goes beyond, a step beyond calls and texts. This is about being in the same space in your life. My question today for you to ponder, to think through, is how much time should my dad get of my life? Different seasons, certainly, but how much time should my dad get? So on the screen, Joe's going to throw up how many hours in a day, or 24, in a week, or 168 hours, in a month, or 730 hours, and in a year, there's 8,760 hours. That's what time all of us have. We're all limited by it. God designed it that way. Now, in the question of how much, 10%? No. You kidding me? I mean, he is your dad, but no. No. 5%? Nope. It's too much. Seriously, I'm saying that as a dad. How about 1%? One. Now, what does that mean? 1% of 24 hours is what? 24 minutes. So can you give your dad 24 minutes a day? Is that fair? And maybe if you don't talk to him for a week, you kind of add that up. It's 1% of you. I know we all have a lot going on. I get it. But nothing, we'd all just agree in a moment, is more important than relationship. I want you all to be 1%ers. 1% of 168 hours is 1.68 hours a week. Whoa, Dad, that's a lot, maybe for some. That's a lot. Giving him your time, thinking through it, adjusting your life so that your dad is honored and made to feel extraordinary because of you and who he is. 1% of 730 hours is 7.3 hours a month. So it's like a day, a month, you and him. 1% of 8,760 hours is 3.65 days a year, or 87 hours a year. I say dad's worth it. Now, I don't want anybody to go home and calculate. Okay, I'm giving my dad 24 minutes a day. You're done, dude. Get out of my face. That's not what we're saying here. Okay, please. But I want you to build a system into your life so you do the right thing for you and for him, knowing full well he is not perfect. He may talk too much. He may be grumpy. I don't know. Proverbs 29:3 says this in your notes. A man who loves wisdom. So we're establishing in this proverb that we got a guy or gal that lives with good decision making. They know God. They care about what God thinks. And they're good decision makers. They're wise. They love wisdom. Matter of fact, they're just not wise. They love it. They want to live wise. It says this. What he or she does, they bring joy to their dad. I'm telling you, if you somehow, in some way, committed 24 minutes a day to your dad and rounded it up, it doesn't have to be perfect, you would make a bigger difference in your dad's life and happiness and joy level. That's what I'm saying. No, the Bible's saying that. I'm just making it practical. Again, we have some questions to ponder. Ask, is this a good investment in my life? That's fair as I bring this stuff to you. You can punch back. It's okay. Because I'm punching you. There's no doubt about it. Is this a good investment in my life? In other words, what is my ROI? What is my return on investment? If I bring some extraordinary joy to my dad, what does that mean to me? I'm not trying to get something from him, hopefully. Although when my daughter just started a conversation with, I love you, Dad, I've been concerned. So keep the relationship alive. Be an initiator of calls and texts. Give him your time. And number three, eat food together. Please eat food together. Eat food together. This may sound silly, but meals together are a big deal. In Scripture, and in our real life, you don't have a deep friendship with anybody that you don't eat food together. It's part of life. And it's a wonderful part. And you know it. Now, some of my kids, Oklahoma, Texas, different places, Los Alamitos, which sounds close, but, you know, it's Orange County. Jamie lives in West LA, but her and I, because of her present situation with Trey, as a single mom, we go out 5 or 6 times a year. We'd like to do it more, but she's had to get a job to care for her life, so things got a little bit tighter time-wise. But we go out 5 or 6 times a year. It'll be breakfast, lunch, dinner rarely, but really fun when we do it. just me and her, across the table, talking about nothing or something, doesn't matter. Just me and her, hanging out, making a small memory. Tracy and I often got together and did different things, lots of them. We're close, until she moved to Texas. It's just hard to have a cappuccino with her in Texas. You know, I guess we could Zoom, but it just doesn't taste the same. But we talk regularly. Matt and I regularly eat food together, and he doesn't mind when I pay. I just watch out. He does not mind. It is okay. There is no telling how many In-N-Out hamburgers we've had in the last 2 months. No telling. No telling. Drive through, just get it and go. And we eat together. In Luke 15, probably the greatest ad in the Bible, I would argue, about the two sons and one ran away. You know this story. Pick it up in verse 20 in your notes. So he got up and went to his father. He kind of admitted his fault, recognized he was an idiot, spent all his daddy's money, wasted his life, was a party boy, had a lot of fun, made a lot of memories that meant nothing. Zero. So he got up and he went to his dad, who was wealthy. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. What does that mean? Well, his dad was looking for him. He was praying for him. You have no idea how much your dad loves you. You have no idea. You can't know until you're one. He can't know. Not supposed to know. While he was a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion. This is tear stuff. This is AGT when somebody knocks it out of the park. You know, the emotion here is huge in this father's life that was about to do something he should never do, and that is run. He could have hurt himself so badly at his age. Watch the hammies. They can go quickly. Okay. He was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son. Didn't walk fast. Grandpa, walk fast. Threw his arms around him and kissed him. The emotion that's shared in this part of the story is, there's no way to put words to it that mean anything, but I hope you just get it. When my son comes over to visit, I don't run to him and hug him and start kissing him. He'd go, "What's this wrong with you? Back off, dude. Oh, did you just find out you're dying?" You know, he'd have to... The son now had wasted his dad's wealth, wasted it. They worked hard for, saved, invested, multiplied. He went against his dad's values on every level. He failed miserably at life on his own. Yet his dad runs to meet him, smiling and happy to see him, non-judgmental, hugs and kisses him. He's still there for him. He's still there for him. One of the toughest things a parent faces is when a kid gets addicted to a drug or alcohol to a place where they're out of control. And it seems like there's no hope anymore, yet dad will keep hope and keep praying. But at some point he recognizes, for me to be codependent with this son or daughter is not wise. I will be here, but you need to clean up your life. You need to get well, son or daughter. It's one of the hardest things a parent goes through, other than death itself. Suicide, criminal event. Those are two of the toughest things any parent ever faces, ever. I've never faced that, but I've seen it. And it is brutal. So number one, keep the relationship alive. Number two, these are simple. Live out a productive life. It really doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's legal. Live out a productive life. You see, dads see stuff. They've been around. They have experience. They may not be the smartest guy in the room, unless they're alone like me, but they may have street wisdom. They know stuff. They just do. Dads think about you way more than you know. Too much. They wish they had a lever to turn it off every now and again. Being productive means certain things. Just a couple thoughts. Number one, It's when we live with integrity. That's what a good dad wants. He wants you to live with integrity. And the idea here is accountable. And you're not a liar. You're trustworthy. There's a streak of faithfulness in you in life. Not just to him, but to anybody. You're a good person. A good dad loves this stuff. A good dad cares deeply about this. A good dad wants to help you do this and live this out where he can. Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of a righteous child. What's righteous mean? Well, you just do the right thing in life. That's what righteousness is. You don't do the wrong thing, especially stepping into it willingly. You'll make mistakes. He made probably more than you ever will. He gets mistakes. The father of a righteous child has great joy. Oh, you want to encourage dad? Here it is. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. Makes him proud. Live out a productive life. When we live with integrity, number two, when we live with discipline. This is one of the things that is lacking in our culture on some level. We all kind of see that. And the idea here is just being a hard worker. Have a passion for whatever it is you're dreaming about and pursuing. I don't believe that a dad should try to control your dreams at all. He should try to get behind them as long as they're legal and fair and okay. Had to throw that caveat in there. Being one who doesn't give up easily. That's part of what discipline brings to life. Discipline defined as a practice of training people to obey and follow rules, whatever they are, good ones, fair ones. Don't constantly be a rebel. There may be some things you need to push back against, but do it with kindness and do it with truth behind it and a reason, not just because you can. It's the idea of you have a good code of behavior. That's the idea of discipline, that you're willing to go the extra mile. Proverbs 12:1 says this, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Interesting. This is God equating discipline as wise and smart. Discipline is honored and lifted up by him here. If you're disciplined, you're a smart dude or gal. He goes on, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Not my words. I'm not calling you stupid. The Bible is, okay? Who wants to be stupid? Nobody. Nobody. Someone wrote, I've learned that if you give a pig and a boy everything they want, you'll get a good pig and a bad boy. Let me read it again. I've learned that if you give a pig and a boy everything they want, you'll get a good pig and a bad boy. Discipline's powerful. To be productive over the long haul, we must also, and I just kind of picked these out of the air, but they're true, and you'll know it, learn to control our anger or your anger. It's part of the process of growing up. Every young man it has some intensity about him and young gal. But there's something in a young man that he kind of knows way too much or thinks he does. But when you mix that with anger, it can be problematic, and in all of our life, anger will destroy more than almost anything else in your life will. You could take a 40-year marriage and just blow it up with the wrong level of anger. Anger is destructive. It always has been, always will be. James tells us, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. So open your eyes up to what I'm about to tell you, he's saying there. Everyone should be quick, be swift, be eager to listen. So quick to listen to what? Well, to God, to his ways. Have an ear for that. What does God want? Think about that. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. So he's saying, look, listen, but don't just jump. Don't just lurch into something. Pause. Patience here. The idea is not to stop speaking, but to speak at the right time when the passions are not boiling. And he says, and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And what he's saying here is don't be a hothead. Hotheads don't accomplish much. Bosses don't want to work with hotheads. They don't. People are angry all the time. Slow to be angry is not never be angry. There's righteous things you ought to be angry about. Injustice should affect us. When God is dishonored, we should be angry. And it should come out appropriately. Verse 20. Why all this? Why? Why should I be this way? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It never has. It never will. Human anger doesn't accomplish what God wants accomplished. That's not the way to get your point across. That's what God's trying to tell us. It certainly has impact, but it's not good. When anger takes over, the ability to listen goes away. You just see red. We can become overly verbal. Generally, we become less tolerant when we're angry. We can become more stubborn. Any of this familiar to you? Thank you for the laughter, Michael. And it produces potentially an attitude of self-righteousness, that in my anger, I must be right. No, actually, rethink. So, okay, another question there for you. What will Dad think if I do these three? Well, what three? Well, live with integrity, live with discipline, and learn to control my anger. I think Dad's happy about that. I think a good dad says, yeah, baby, I want that for you as I want it for me. So what encourages Dad? Keep the relationship alive, live out a productive life, and number three, allow him to be your dad. Now, this may sound like a crazy phrase to you, but it's not to me. And remember, I'm a C student and a simple man. You might say, well, Jim, my dad just is my dad. That's who he is factually, Jim. You're missing something here. That's what the truth is, right? He's my dad. I have his name. I got pictures. But I want to tell you, and I want you to get this more than anything, especially if you're young. This is gold. If a dad isn't welcome in your life, he knows it. I don't only know myself as a dad, but I know a lot of dads. And we talk about this stuff privately, quietly. But if he isn't welcome, he knows it, and he feels it. And he has to accept it. He has to. It's the way it is. He must. Well, how do we welcome Dad in? How do we let him be our dad? And this is what I was talking about. If you had a dad that was bad, let somebody else be your dad. And if he is, tell him, you're like a dad to me. Do you know what happens on the inside of his heart? As you grow older, we all potentially, if we're out there, become fathers to other people. It's a beautiful thing. How do we welcome him in? Number one, listen to your dad in life. Listen to him. Hear what he has to say. Even if it's not your cup of tea, what he's saying, because he's old. He doesn't understand technology. He can't even set up his own TV without you. He doesn't care if you laugh at him. Just set his TV up. Make it so it works. One button, okay? It's not like he's a software engineer and he knows everything about everything. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father. There it is. See, this is right out of the Bible. This is right out of the Bible. It's pretty clear. And I love this part. And so will you guys. Who gave you life? This is not a little thing. You literally come from him. God designed it this way. Even though mom did most of the work, you come from him. Did I give you a little attaboy there, mom? I got nothing from that. Nothing. What can happen in life with what I'm talking about is to a dad is he just goes silent. He goes silent because he doesn't know what to do. And there are guys in this room right now, me saying that, are frozen stiff because they've been here. You got no other option. And you know it. Not because he has nothing to say, but because they feel so unwelcome. They feel unwanted. And they feel completely shut down. And so they accept it. And I can just barge right through with loudness and personality. They're just going to take it. Listen to your dad. And this may involve you asking some questions. Just a thought. Number two, ask your dad for advice. Now, this is tricky stuff. Listen, I want to admit that up front. This is tricky stuff, okay? But your dad has some years behind him, and just the thought of this, if you're here and your dad's still alive, could produce anxiety. And I'm not so sure why this is, that if I ask my dad for his advice, I think one of the reasons why you think if your dad advises you, you have to do what he says. Listen, when you're an adult, just because somebody gives you advice doesn't mean you have to do it ever. Understand, as an adult, you have power to decide in your life. And I think your dad would admit to that. But I know there's apprehension here. Just because advice is given, you don't have to follow it. But to give the man who gave you life the freedom to advise you is a beautiful thing for him. And the reality is it could be beautiful for you. The truth is you may not want to hear it. Ask him anyway. Ask him. Little things, medium things, and really big things. It's very cool. Very few men could testify that my kids ask me for advice. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. We probably did the same thing. I don't know. Proverbs 28:7 says that discerning means wise and smart. Discerning does. Having or showing good judgment. That's what being discerning is. A discerning son heeds instruction. What does that mean? Well, he listens to it. He takes it to heart. Instruction or advice. But in contrast, a companion of gluttons, glutton in the Bible means habitual greed or excess in eating. Just more, more, more. Disgraces his father. So the son embarrasses his dad or daughter and brings pain to him. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. We often talk about a rule for life in here. And here it is. It's not going to surprise anybody. Nobody. Nobody wants your advice unless they ask. And what's the truth? Nobody asks. Why? We're all scared. It's a great thing to ask somebody. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. When was the last time somebody asked you, could I get a half hour and get your advice? If you learn to occasionally ask dad for advice, do me one favor. Do it slowly and carefully so we don't lose him to a heart attack. Do it slowly and carefully, okay? Number three, let's keep moving. An idea for you. Regularly thank him for being your dad. See, when I talk about allow him to be your dad, I really mean it. Because sometimes he feels like I don't matter to you at all. And it's not your job to make him secure or to be his friend. This is not about friendship. This is about he is dad. Let him be. Let him be. What are we talking about here? If appropriate, tell your dad, simple words, Dad, you're awesome. Nothing else. That's enough for us. Awesome. Awesome's a good word. You're the best dad ever. I can't imagine having a better dad. I should have brought my phone and read you the text Tracy sent me this morning. I didn't ask for permission, so it's probably good I don't have it. It was very nice. Say things like this. I remember dot, dot, dot. Well, what? I remember you, Dad, taking us to karate class 3 times a week for a decade. I got 2 red belts, 2 black belts, a red belt, and a yellow something belt, and a white belt with 4 stripes on it, okay? We gave up. Say to your dad, I'll never forget, dot, dot, dot. What is it? I don't know your story. Tell your story. I never forgot, Dad, when we lived in San Jose, I never forget about us going to Tony Roma's because we didn't have much money. And we'd get ribs and go home and watch so I could watch football. We got a big bucket of ribs, Tony Roma's, from church in San Jose on the way home, and they loved them, as did I. The number of times we went to Disneyland, Dad, we had passes. Kids love Disneyland. We went fishing. Matt's got stories. We went to get yogurt. Just ask Jamie next time you see her. How many times did your dad take you out at 7:30 to get yogurt? What was it called, TCYB? I called it TCBY on purpose, and it was a joke. What she got was cotton candy yogurt with gummy bears on it, literally 100 times. Would she, if I got that for her right now, she would gag. I'm serious. See, I've got story, you have story. Tell it to him. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. What involves everything? Your dad. Be thankful for him. So, questions to ask. Does he, your dad, know that I appreciate him? How? Where? How is that communicated to him? Or should he just know because you do appreciate him? Second question, why wouldn't I live thankful for him? He's not perfect, and he's the first that would tell you. I wish I would have been better here and there. But why wouldn't I live thankful for him? He's my dad. One day he's not going to be here. Great questions to think through on this Father's Day. So last, what encourages dad? Keep the relationship alive. And I'm putting that on you. He's got to respond and participate, but just take it yourself. Live out a productive life. Allow him to be your dad. And number 4, show him you love him. We talk about love, we sing about love all the time. But show him that you love him. Not just in the past, but in each season of life. And they get different, trust me. Find real ways to accomplish this. Be creative with it, how you as a sister or brother may do it totally different than the other does. It doesn't matter. It's not a competition. It's just a beautiful thing to invest in your dad. When you show love and respect for your dad, not only is it a big deal for him, but it's good for you as well. We all reap what we sow. You sow good things, you reap good things. A couple thoughts here on loving dad. Just a couple things. Number 1, be appropriately affectionate. My daughter, Jamie, because of her situation with Trey, she comes over most Sundays in the afternoon. Kind of a standing welcome visit dinner. She cooks. She loves to cook. Every time she comes in the house, she stands there like this. Like I'm sitting there. Today I'll be watching the U.S. Open, hoping Ricky wins. And she'll stand there, and I have to get up and hug her. I don't mind. It's routine. If I didn't hug her, she'd probably just walk out and get in her car and go home and come back the next week and stand right there. When she leaves, guess what? She won't leave without hugging her dad. Last week, Matt had a really good day at the Rose Bowl. It was a big deal in his life. Doesn't matter the story, but it was good. The flea market thing out there and woodworking and stuff. And he was tired, man. He was exhausted from a hard week. And he was there for dinner. And he went into the kitchen, and I kind of wandered in there. And he wrapped his huge, beefy arms because he's working out. He thinks he's just really tough, and he thinks he can take me in, and he can. Around his mama, and he hugs her hard and long. Another man is hugging my wife. And then I was there, and he turns around, and he grabs onto me, and he hugs me. And in my ear, he says, "Thank you, Dad, for supporting me." You know, we men don't have to have a lot of words. You don't have to say everything repeatedly. But appropriate affection is huge in our life. Physical touch is a big deal. The power of physical touch, three thoughts, inspires positive thinking, expands trust. It's not your notes. Reduces social anxiety and stress. It just does. We need it. It boosts our immune system and lowers blood pressure. That's what the pros tell us. Don't discount it. Understand it. And use it for love. Remember Luke 15. We just talked about it. The dad. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, he didn't kiss him every day, I don't think. Maybe there's some cultural adaptation, but I think he just wanted his son to feel his love. Proverbs 17:6, children's children, being a grandparent, are a crown to the aged. As we get older, it's about others, not us. We get it. We had our time. We give now. It doesn't mean we don't have some fun. And parents are the pride of their children. This is what parents desire, that kids are proud of them. And you show that by the way you treat them. It's pleasant when they acknowledge you. Proud in the sense of what you've accomplished in life and how you live your life. And words get said. This speaks of loving and caring a bloodline. And it's in all of us. It's built into us. Planning ahead for those you love. Not spending everything on you. I don't like that bumper sticker that says spending my kids' retirement. You can do it, some of it, but you better be investing what you have. A good man leaves something for his kids' kids. It matters. It's not about the amount. It's just about thinking about it. Living in an unselfish way builds legacy in our life. The guy who cut my hair yesterday, obviously cut a lot of it, and he asked me, "Are you great grandparents yet?" I said, "No, but it's not far off. A couple weddings and we'll get there." And I said, "I hope there's weddings first." But you know, that was just a joke. Show him. Was that too much for you? I live in a real world, people. Show him you love him. Be appropriately affectionate. Number two, be interested in your dad. Now, this is a small world, but the word interested defined in this context, being curious or engaged. Interested is being fascinated or intrigued by your dad. Yeah, your dad. He's got a story you don't know. Being involved or concerned, being an interested spectator of your dad's life, even at this age, whatever it is. As I talk about being interested, be interested in his life and his past. Ask him questions, his accomplishments, his experiences in life. He'll love to tell you, but if you don't ask, he'll sit there silent. He'll watch more golf. That's what he does. As a man grows older, things change. Now, he's still a lion. There's still lion inside of Dale. If somebody came up to mess with me right now, Dale would try to stop him. I'm not kidding. He's got a heart of service. He was a fireman his whole life, and he's still a man. Not as strong as he was. But he'd try to stop him. That's the truth. There's a lion in all of us. We're just not as fast. And we don't look as good as we once did. You know, that lion prancing? What we're getting at here in being interested is let him prance a little. Welcome him. Look for a roar or two from him. Let him roar. But you got to ask him. He's not going to do it on his own unless he's got a type A total personality. He's going to take the room whether you like it or not. But let him rock the house. And speaking of rock the house, I was at Kenny's 50th birthday party, and it was a decade ago. He doesn't care if you know how old he is. And Carla is... I'm not stupid. 39. 39. So I'm there, and we don't know each other tremendously well, but they welcome me in. And so he goes up front, and this song comes on. And I didn't know what was happening. Nobody knew. And Billie Jean comes on, and loud. And Kenny, Michael, took the stage. Seriously, I'm not kidding. 6'4", Michael. Had the hat, the glove, all of it. I'm not kidding. And the dude started dancing to Billie Jean. And he started moonwalking across the stage, and I'm going, and he drops the hat, and it didn't fall. And you remember Billie Jean, right? Joe, do you remember Billie Jean? Yeah. Nice timing there. That's good. I thought he might come up and do it now, but you can turn it off. That's all we get. Now, do you see what I just did? Now, stop. I honored my friend. It's all true. He was awesome. Matter of fact, I would pay him big money to do this here next Sunday. But it brings back a memory in his life and his wife's life. She set this huge, beautiful party up for her husband who she loves. That's all I'm asking you to do for your dad. Bring back some of the glory. Let him have it. Show your dad love by being interested. We're going to skip Matthew 7, 9. You can read it yourself. How to be interested in dad. Ask these questions. What does he care about? Ask yourself and ask him. Maybe with a pen in your hand. Keep a journal about your dad and your mom. What would he love to talk about? Think about that. What would my dad love to talk about? Because now I'm going to invest 24-ish minutes a day in him. Collectively, and what would he like to talk about at breakfast with me? I'm going to invite my dad to breakfast. I'll let him pay. He doesn't mind. He doesn't care. Ask him questions about what he loves. Throw the questions up. Ask him, what was your favorite thing about dot, dot, dot? What was your favorite thing? He's got them. What does he feel like he accomplished? That's off there. What does he feel like he accomplished in life? Dot, dot, dot. Ask him. You may know already. What did you learn going through dot, dot, dot? Tough stuff. What'd you learn? The benefit can be all yours. Now, I know some of you don't have your dad. You can't do this. You wish you could go back. But ways to show him you love him. Number three and last, let's get out of here. Remind him of the things he taught you. I don't know what they are. Most dads have had some positive impact in their kids. Most, not all, most. Figure out what that is. Bring that stuff up with him. Not every time you see him. Don't be redundant. Highlight what dad's taught you, what he's invested in you, what he's done for you. I asked a guy one time that had a daughter that was a professional, and he paid for her whole schooling. I'll never forget it. Decades ago. I asked him, and I said, has your daughter ever thanked you for paying all that money for her college? And I'm the pastor, so you're not going to lie to me. And he thought for a minute. He said, no, actually, I don't think she has. Now, she's thankful. I don't doubt that. But we don't do what we think. We do. Thankfulness is powerful. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on you. God is like a good father. And your daddy cares if he's a good dad. So ask yourself, what did he actually teach me? Make a list. What was his significance in my life? It's way late. I want to close with this, though, just to touch your hearts. It's been good being together. Watch this. Let's pray as we close. Lord, thank you for dads and who they are in our life. And may we just live and honor them, whether they're alive or not, by the way we live. May we, if our dad is gone, look for another dad around if we can and love on him. He may need it. And Lord, just make us good people. Make us wise people. Let us not be overwhelmed at the task part of today, but let us just do our best to be men and women, boys and girls who honor others in every way that we can. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You have a wonderful day, guys.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you, Dad.